The Bible reading tonight is from 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll begin reading at the verse number 20 of the chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. And behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. What a surprising sight awaited the young stripling son of Jesse when he arrived at the scene of the battle. No doubt he went up on his errand, leaping and skipping, excited to see the grandeur and the glory of the armies of the living God, only to find them cowering in fear behind the rocks at the voice of Goliath, the champion of Gath. Disbelief, disappointment gave place to holy indignation at the insult and the dishonour that was given to the God of heaven. And David resolves, as he says before the soldiers of the army of Israel, David resolves to go and fight with them. He resolves that he shall take on the champion, and he shall remove this insult and this dishonour to the Lord's name. The scene of the trembling and fearful army of Israel is one that conveys to us timeless exhortation. What a scene this is, and it is a scene that ought to arrest our hearts and captivate our minds, for so often, since that day, so often, the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, has acted in a similar way, bowing down in fear, when it ought to stand upright with confidence and courage in the Lord's name. This scene brings to us vital truths that are relevant to our own day and generation. In the first place, it reminds us of the prohibited experience, of fear. There are two kinds of fear in the Bible. There is godly fear, and that godly fear is a reverential disposition of heart, a heart that reverences the Lord. It is the fear of the Lord, and that fear is highly esteemed, highly regarded in the Scripture. It is a right inclination of heart, a respectful heart towards the Lord, a heart that worships Him, and that fear is exhorted in the Scripture. That fear is honoured in the Scripture, and that fear is honoured by the Lord. But there is another kind of fear. It is the fear manifested in this chapter, in this event, in verse 24, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid." They were sore afraid. This was not godly fear in the hearts of the soldiers of Israel. This was a fear that God had prohibited, a fear that God had forbidden. And so many times in the Scripture we read those words, "Fear not, fear not." So many times the Lord says to His people, "Fear not." This is the command of God, "Fear not." There is a fear that is forbidden. There is a fear that ought not to be present in the hearts of the people of God. We find it first mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, the first occurrence, the first manifestation of this fear was in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord. We read that when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And when the Lord called Adam and said, "Where art thou?" In verse 10 of Genesis 3, he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." The first time this fear manifests itself is in the aftermath of sin, the consequence of sin. Adam had sinned against God, and the presence of God, when he was confronted with the presence of God, it convicted his conscience. His conscience was a guilty conscience, and he's afraid. And he's running from God. He's running from his Maker. There you have the characteristic, the nature of this fear. The reason why it is forbidden. It is associated with sin. It is the fruit of sin. It is a fear that is running from God. It's the evidence of a heart that is not in fellowship with God, and wherever you find that kind of fear, it always betrays a heart that is not walking with the Lord as it ought to. It is a fear forbidden. The first time that command is given was in Genesis chapter 15. And it was given to Abraham. You remember that Abraham is called the father of the faithful. And the Lord said to him in Genesis 15 and verse 1, "After these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now this command, when you look at the background in the previous chapter, there had been a rebellion. Lot had been captured. Abram goes out with his armed servants and he rescues Lot. And he gains a great deliverance. But in the aftermath, there comes in this fear. He begins to tremble. So much so that the Lord recognized it and the Lord said to him, "Fear not, Abram." It's the first time the command is given by God, and it is given to the one who is the father of the faithful, indicating that this fear is the very opposite of those who are the faithful. It's the very opposite of faith. It is not what God wills for his people. It is contrary to the life of faith. It was this fear that filled the hearts of the men of the army of Israel in Genesis chapter 17 when they saw the great giant Goliath, the champion of Gath, and they heard his taunting of the God of heaven. And they ran away. They hid behind the rocks and they were sore afraid. They were filled with a fear that God had prohibited. But that brings us secondly to the paralyzing effect of this fear. They were unable to contend with the armies of the enemies of God. And consequently, God's honour was trampled into the ground and God's cause greatly impoverished. Think of it. The Philistines rising up against the army of Israel and defying the God of heaven. Defying the God of heaven. And where is Israel? Where is the army of Israel? Hiding behind the rocks, fearful of one man, fearful of one man, fearful to take on Goliath, afraid. Do you see the paralyzing effect in the hearts of the army of Israel? They had no courage. They had no confidence. They had no assurance. They were filled with dismay. They were filled with terror. They were afraid. Because this forbidden fear, this prohibited fear, brings with it a paralyzing effect. Paralyzing effect. If you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 20, instruction is given in this chapter to the Israelites concerning the characteristics required for the army of Israel. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 8. "And the officers shall speak further on to the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart." Do you see the paralyzing effect? This fear, when it takes hold, causes the heart to faint. There's a paralyzing effect, but not only that, there is a contagious effect. One man who is fearful and trembling and faint-hearted, his fearfulness will spread. It will affect others. And do you see how the instruction is given now concerning the army of Israel? That where there is fearfulness, where there is this faint-heartedness, the Lord says such a man is to be sent home. Let him go and return unto his house. Why? Because his fearfulness will paralyze not only himself, but it will paralyze the rest of the army. It will have a devastating effect. Do you remember in the book of Judges, when God called Gideon to deliver Israel from the slavery, from the bondage that they were under at the hand of the Midianites? Judges chapter 7. And you remember how the Lord said there were too many in Gideon's army to take on the Midianites. And the Lord said to them in verse 3, "Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead." And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And from an army of 32,000, 22,000 confessed, admitted, acknowledged that they were fearful and afraid. Notice the prevalence of this fear. More than 2/3. And there's the evidence of what was written in Deuteronomy chapter 20, where this fear is, when God's people live by fear instead of faith, that fear becomes contagious and it spreads and it paralyzes the entire church. That is why it is forbidden. That is why God says, let them go home. They'll not be able to stand in the battle. They'll not be able to face the enemy, fearful and afraid. It has a paralyzing effect and it is contagious. It spreads. And are we not experiencing the same today? Fear has crippled. It has paralyzed the church today in this land. Fear of a virus. And the vast majority of people who contract this virus, the evidence shows they recover. And yet fear of this virus has paralyzed the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm now hearing word that it is fear of a second wave that is preventing movement on opening up churches for public worship. Rumour has come to me, and I sincerely hope it is not true, but I have my doubt. Rumour has come to me that there are voices being raised within the executive and within the Democratic Unionist Party that are holding up the opening of the churches for public worship, because they are saying if there is a second wave, then we will be blamed as a party. More interested in the name of the party, the reputation of the party, than the worship and the honour of Almighty God. It's simply not good enough. God has not given to the state power over his church. God has not given to the legislators the prerogative to dictate and control the worship of God. The worship of God is an obligation that is laid upon every individual, and that obligation comes from God directly. We are the work of his hands. We are his creatures, and we are commanded to worship him. And God has not given to any government the right or the prerogative to control the worship of God by his people. And we now have a situation where shops are given dates for when they can open, restaurants and hotels, bars and pubs, but not the church. And the reason why is because there might be a second wave. Well, what about people meeting in a supermarket? People meeting in a pub or a restaurant? They're not using the same argument of a second wave for them, but they'll use it for the church. It's simply not good enough. It's not good enough. And what is lacking is leadership within the church. Instead, there is a bowing down to a fear-driven narrative. We are not called to live by fear. We are called to live by faith. If David had feared, then Goliath would not have been defeated. The Lord is saying to his people, fear not. You're not to be governed by fear. You're to be governed by faith in God. And that leads us finally to the personal emancipation from this fear. God says to his people so many, many times, fear not, fear not. And within that command is encouraged the divine provision for deliverance. David himself could testify of it in Psalm 34 and verse number 4. He says, this man sought the Lord. I sought the Lord, he says, and the Lord delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There is deliverance from fear. We are not to live in fear. We are not to be overcome by fear. There is deliverance. Now, David had his fears. That's what he's bearing testimony to. He had his fears. But what did he do? He brought them to the Lord. He sought the Lord. He lifted them up before God. And the Lord delivered him from those fears. Psalm 56 and verse 3, he declares, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What is the great antidote to fear? It is faith. Faith in God, faith in God's word, faith in God's promise. Faith is the great requirement, the great need today in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need faith in the Lord. How long are we going to let this continue? How long are we going to let the public worship of God be suspended? How long are we going to let the evangelistic preaching of the gospel and a door opened for lost men and women to enter in and hear words whereby they can be saved? How long are we going to let this continue without any fight, without any protest? We're being governed by fear and not by faith. It is faith that will give us the victory. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 18, the apostle says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment." That's what we're seeing. The action of the church today is taken out of fear, and there's a torment there. It's not of God. But when the heart is governed by the love of God, that love casts out fear, chases it away, and it brings a perfect peace within. The words of Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7 are words that are most appropriate. Paul says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The spirit of fear. Now, look around you today. Look at how the church is reacting. And people are saying, "Oh, but you know, we don't want to tarnish our testimony. What if there was to be an outbreak?" Well, the Bible says we must test the Spirit. Is that the mind of God? Is that Spirit of God? In the face of death, remember, death is the enemy. If that's what we're fearing, is that honourable to the Lord? That we should be governed and controlled by the fear of death? Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. "God hath not given us the spirit of fear." This spirit of fear is not of God, but rather, he has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know why people fear? Is because they don't have a sound mind. And a sound mind is a mind that is instructed in the truth. Do you know the atmosphere in which fear breeds the most? It is the atmosphere of ignorance, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, lack of knowing the truth. And that's where we're seeing the fear in our society. We don't know the truth. We're not being told the truth about all that's happening. "But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the only way that we can have a sound mind is when we have the mind of God. The mind of God. And I want you to ask today the question, is the church's reaction in the midst of everything that's happening with this epidemic, is the church's response governed by the mind of God? Do we have the mind of God? Remember, the mind of God will not create a spirit of fear. It will create a spirit of faith that is governed and directed by the Word of God. How did David feel when he came to the battlefield and he saw the army of Israel hiding behind the rocks, sore afraid? All his expectations as a young lad of what that army was and what it meant. Suddenly, he became disillusioned when he saw the reality. But his heart is stirred within him. And he says, is there not a cause? The honour of God is at stake. And we must not allow the honour of God to be trampled in the ground any longer. And David says, let no man's heart fail. I will go. I will fight with this Philistine, and I will do it in the name of the Lord. You see what David said to Saul when Saul sought to discourage him? He said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And so when David came to Goliath, this is what he said to him in verse 45, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And when David's faith was in the Lord of hosts, that faith banished the fear that had paralyzed the army of Israel. And David prevailed. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Old John McNeill was speaking at Oxford University to the students on one occasion, and after the meeting, having preached the Word of God and exhorted them to believe the Bible to be the Word of God, he was met by two very sceptical students, and they said to him, Mr. McNeill, you don't mean to tell us that you believe in a Bible that's infallible? That you believe that Jonah was in the belly of the whale? That you believe that Daniel was in the lion's den? Or that a young stripling lad took a stone and a sling and felled a great giant? And McNeil looked at the two boys, and he said to them, son, if Goliath's head had been as soft as yours, a snowball would have done. A snowball would have done. This event actually happened. David had faith in God. His faith conquered the fear that was natural to his own heart. And that faith led to the great victory over the giant, the champion of the Philistines. What is needed today in the Church of Jesus Christ, in the face of this great giant who comes with the fear of death, what is needed is the spirit of faith that lays hold upon God, that lays hold upon God's word and defies all and any who would seek to detract from the glory of God. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Is the church going to flee in fear? Or is the church going to trust the Lord and defend the honour of God? May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.